Philippians chapter number 1. I'd like to begin reading tonight for the sake of time in verse number 7. And we'll get into a little bit more of this verse of Scripture right here and trust the Lord will help us. The Bible said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. And that's kind of where we parked last Wednesday night, talking about how that the Apostle Paul had the people of God, not only at Philippi, but other places as well, in his heart. And then he said this, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here this Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Lord, the privilege to pray with your people, the privilege, Lord, to fellowship with your precious people, the privilege to read the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to give. Lord, we just thank you tonight for the blessings, God, that you've bestowed upon us. I'm asking you tonight, Lord, for wisdom. I'm asking you, God, to give our leaders wisdom in this country as we deal with the enemy. Lord, that would so love to destroy Israel, would so love to destroy our nation, and the freedoms that we have. I pray, God, that you'd give us wisdom. Help us, our Father, as a nation, Lord, to look unto you. God, we know today, Lord, that many people have forgotten. But Lord, you've not forgotten. You're the Lord. You change not. I pray, God, tonight, Lord, season your word with your grace and your spirit. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The church at Philippi was guilty of communicating, good thing to be guilty of, with Paul in his bonds. They weren't ashamed of the man of God that was locked up for doing what God wanted him to do. I say this tonight, and I know that I guess in many circles it's taken lightly, but you can mark down what I'm about to say. If our country keeps going in the direction it's going, I believe more people will be locked up for just simply taking a stand on the Word of God. They'll start out with tax-exempt status and stuff like that, but that's not really what they want. They want us to shut up. They don't want us to preach the gospel. They don't want us to preach against sin. And but Paul wouldn't shut up. John the Baptist wouldn't shut up. And I'm going to make a statement tonight. I don't believe those that are really God's men will ever shut up. Amen. If they're hirelings, they'll shut up. Amen. They'll go with the flow. But Paul here, he talks about in his bonds, he's imprisoned for the gospel's sake. But he said in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. I'm reminded of what the Bible said. I believe it was over in the book of Jude. Turn there with me for just a minute. I think that's where it is. I'm almost sure. But a verse just came to my mind. In the book of Jude, the Bible said, beloved, in verse number 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. How many believes that faith is worthy of contending for?
Amen.
That's what Paul believed. He believed it was worthy of contending for. If needs be, he was willing to die for that faith. It was something that was real in his heart and in his life. In verse number 4, he said, certain men are crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, in verse number 7, he's thanking the church. He has the church in his heart. He's thanking the church for taking a stand with him in his bonds. He's thanking the church for being a partaker in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel. And in so doing, they were partaking of the grace of God. You remember that Paul said, I believe it was in Corinthians. Let me turn there for just a minute. I believe, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a minute. I believe that's where it is. I'm just trying to mind the Lord tonight. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul said in verse number 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Can I say something to you tonight? Listen, this will help us tonight. What's the matter, brother? Pardon? I believe I did too. When you look back there and see Brother Richard standing, you know there's a problem. Amen. Amen. How about that, brother? Amen. Forgive me, Brother Richard. Hey, do you forgive me? Okay. All right. He's busy. Amen. All right. We'll start over. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. But Paul, when he's talking here in the book of Corinthians, he said here, I'm the least of the apostles and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And we look at that as a big thing. In other words, Paul was looking at it like I was the enemy of the church and I'm not even meet to be called an apostle. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. But let me say this to you tonight. We should never forget that we're not worthy to be called saints either in and of ourselves. Amen. And regardless, we're in the family of God, and we ought to think along the lines of the Apostle Paul that it's all of grace. Watch what he said here. In verse 10, he uses the word but. He said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now listen, when Paul looked, I didn't understand this at first when he talked about being partakers of my grace. That almost looks like it's heady and it's high-minded. You know, Paul's talking about y'all are partakers of my grace. But what Paul is really talking about when he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and it's the grace of God that's working in me, all he's saying to the church is, hey, it's all of grace, amen? It's the grace of God we're standing for the gospel. It's the grace of God that we're living for the gospel. It's the grace of God that we can further the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'll say more about that later in the chapter. Partakers of my grace, it's God's grace. And so tonight, as we go on in the lesson tonight, let's look on into verse number 8 for just a little while tonight and try to get on down through here a little ways. The Bible said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Can I ask a question tonight? And I think it's a question that we need to answer honestly and truthfully in our heart. What are we longing after? What is it that we long for?
I believe every one of us long for something, don't you? And maybe several things, amen? But Paul, when he writes here in verse number 8, he said, God is my record. That's another way of saying, I have a witness in heaven. God knows my heart, amen? I long after you all. It's not just something coming from Paul's mouth, but it's something coming from deep down in his soul. It's coming from his heart. And he said, I long after you all in the bowels. I looked that word up. It might seem odd to use that word. It probably comes from a word that means the spleen or an intestine. But figuratively speaking, what Paul is saying, it comes from pity or sympathy, inward affection, tender mercy. That's what Paul has in his heart for the saints at Philippi. And I believe tonight it's important that we realize when he says, God is my record, that that is the truth. Amen. If you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul said it's a way that he uses. He said in verse number 9 of chapter 1, for God is my witness. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You know, it's humbling. Paul's writing to the church at Rome. I talked to a man this week that said, preacher, I pray for you every day, and sometimes more than once a day. That's humbling, amen? And you say, what's Paul saying this year to the church at Rome? He's saying, hey, he said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. But he didn't just say that. He said, I have a witness in heaven. God knows that's the truth. Amen. Not just something that's being said. That is the truth in Paul's life. Now, he says it again. Look in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 1. We're looking at this where he uses this little phrase, God is my record. God is my witness. He uses it again in the book of Romans. We'll see this truth being taught again. The Bible said in chapter 9 and verse number 1, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, why does Paul think it necessary, do you think, to put these statements in there when he's writing? Well, I believe that in this generation and in the generation that the Apostle Paul lived in, it was hard to believe that anybody was actually living on that plane, amen? That they could say, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer, amen? He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. He goes over in chapter number 11, it might be right here, let me look here and see. Let me see, when he talked about the Jew. It's right here, right after that. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. When you've got a man standing up saying, hey, I would give up my spot in the kingdom. That is my love for you. And I'm telling you, no wonder once in a while he just throws in the phrase, God is my record. God is my witness. In other words, a statement like that, Brother Tim, is unbelievable that somebody would give up their life to see somebody else saved. But over and over again, he says, God is my witness. God is my record. And then if you look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 20, I hope tonight that this blesses your heart, because It's true. God put it in Paul's heart. He said here in verse number 20 in Galatians chapter 1, he said, now the things which I write unto you, behold, watch him again. He says, before God, I lie not. I looked at all this. I began to look at it and I thought, well, why does the man of God find it necessary? Well, let me always remember this. He's writing under the inspiration of the blessed Holy Ghost. God wanted it put in the canon of Scripture, amen, that the man of God at times maybe was having a hard time believing they were believing him. And so once in a while he just stops and says, hey, God is my witness. Amen. God is my record. We're going to face that one day, aren't we? That record of God. Amen. And then he says, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Look at one more time right here, and then we'll go on to another thought in this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 5. I didn't print these verses out because I wanted to take the time to look them up, and maybe that would give you a chance to get there as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible said here, for neither at any time used we flattering words. Paul said something like that to the church at Corinth, didn't he? He said, I'm determined among you to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, it's not by enticing words of man's wisdom. That's never got the job done, and it never will. Amen. But he said, it's in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now watch what he said here in verse number 5. He said, for neither at any time used we flattering words. I wanted to stop and say this tonight. I believe if ever there was a man living that could have impressed whoever he was talking to, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. He was a very, very, very well-educated man. I'm just going to go ahead and say this tonight. You won't hang around Brother Jones long, the man that preached our revival, to understand he's a very educated man. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He's a humble man. He walks with God. Amen. You can sit down and talk to him. You can sit down and have a meal with him. You don't have to worry about being intimidated. Amen. Because he's got God oozing out of him. Amen. The love. I believe Paul would have been the same way. He could have intimidated people if he wanted to, but he didn't want to intimidate them. He wanted to help them. Amen. He wanted them to know, I've got you in my heart. Amen. He said this, watch now. Here, he said in verse number 5, neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. I like that. And what Paul's saying there, he said in other places in a different way, but what Paul's saying is, it's not what you have that I want, it's you. Amen. It's not your stuff I'm interested in, it's your soul. Amen. I want you. Amen. The army says, I want you. And that's what Paul was saying. Amen. I want you. I want you. And listen, you say, well, preacher, why did he want them? I tell you, you can read about it in the Bible, but the truth is being taught that he wanted them to stand before God with their head, amen, up, not ashamed, because they had served the living God while they were here on the earth. The Bible said here, watch now, he's going to come down to the end. He says, God is witness. I've never caught all that before, but I went back and looked how that over and over and over. It kind of reminds you of the preacher that was telling a story. And it was a true story, but it was like an unbelievable true story. Does anybody know what that is? Amen. Like, man, did that really happen or did he make that up? And the preacher stopped right in the middle of it. His people just weren't getting it. They just weren't getting a hold of it. He said, listen, folk, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. You'll get that after a while. Amen. They were looking at him, and that was his way, Brother Gale, of saying, God is my witness. God is my record. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. That's kind of funny, but it's true. Watch this now. He said, how greatly I long after you all. Look at Philippians. Go over there with me, please, for just a moment. In Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 26. Listen to what he says here. He's talking about a man, if you read in verse number 25, named Epaphroditus. If I'm saying his name correctly. He says, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. I look at a name like Epaphroditus and I thank God for names like Rick and George. Amen. And Bob. Jim. In verse number 26, look what the Bible said here. Paul wasn't the only one with a longing. He said here, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. You know what? I thank God that Paul is not just telling us in the book of Philippians that he's got a heavy heart. He's carrying a burden. He's got the church in his heart. But he said, there's somebody else I want to tell you about. He's wanting God's best for you, Epaphroditus. Now watch, I think this is important. It says, he longed after you all. He was full of heaviness because that he had heard, ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick. Now look at these words, nigh unto death. I mean, he was very sick. Nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, God spared the life of Epaphroditus. That helped me, amen? Because all I would have had would have been sorrow packed on top of sorrow, amen? And Paul's saying, hey, I've been next to this guy, and he's got you on his heart. He longs after you all. You all have been good to him. Amen. You all have ministered to him. He said, I sent therefore, in verse number 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. He said, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, what you couldn't do, this man come along and God used this man. This man about died doing it, amen? And I believe with all of my heart that Paul wanted everybody to know that he wasn't the only one with that burden. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, I longed after you all, in chapter 1 and verse 8, in the bowels of Jesus Christ, in that inward affection, in that tender mercy, in pity and in sympathy. The Bible said here in chapter 4 and verse number 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Let me ask you a question. I've heard a little bit of discussion today as men worked about serving in the army. How many of you all believe there was a mother that longed to see that boy again? A father didn't know for sure whether they'd ever see him set foot back on American soil again. But they had that longing, did they not? That, I believe that'd be a good way to describe, amen, what's going on in Paul's heart. He's over there in that dark dungeon. He's over there and he's locked up. But he has a longing to be able to stand once again in the church at Philippi and open the precious old book and preach the Word of God. Once again, he has a longing, amen. Those of us, and that's all of us, I suppose, that have loved ones in glory, every once in a while, when you get to thinking about them, you have a longing in your heart. Amen. A longing. When I went to my uncle's funeral the other day, and there sat at the head of the casket a picture of my grandfather and a picture of my grandmother, I'm going to tell you something right now. It just makes something turn over down inside of you knowing it ain't going to be long. Amen. And there's going to be a reunion like we've never seen before. Amen. My grandfather wore a flat top. I mean, I don't know what they used to make that stuff stand up in the front right there. But I mean, that thing, I believe you could set a 2x4 up there on it. And it sat there on its edge. I mean, a flat top. It wasn't very long, but it sure was flat on top. I've watched men get that haircut, and you'd think there wouldn't be nothing to it. Man, it takes a while to put on a haircut like that. Amen. And so there's a longing. There's a longing in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And he wants us to see that. Now let's get down here into verse number 9 a little ways tonight. I can't believe that. I just looked at my watch. I can't believe that. But anyway, wow. Y'all want to stay a while or y'all want to go? I didn't hear you. Okay. Let's go on down to verse number 9. Chapter 1 and verse number 9. Well, I'd like to get through this verse tonight. This is where it gets good. And the Apostle Paul in verse number 9, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet." Somebody tell me those next two words. Boy, that'd be a good name for a Baptist church, wouldn't it? More and more Baptist church. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. He said, I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let's just look at this verse for a minute tonight. He said, "Preacher, I got hung up on the word abound. Your love may abound yet more and more." He said, "Preacher, I don't know why that would be important." Let me give you some things tonight. It's important because God said it's important. It's important because the man of God prayed for it for the church. It's important because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one toward another." It's very important, amen, to the Lord. It's very important to the Apostle Paul. But let me give you some things that will help us, I believe, to abound. Listen in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Listen to this. The Bible said, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." You know what you could read into that right there? I've never read into it before, but this is what God gave me. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Or did it say may abound? One or the other. May abound, is that what? Might abound. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." You know what that verse right there, what that part of that verse is talking about? Holy Ghost conviction. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" That's what happens when the law entered and the offense abounds. Amen? How many remembers when we got under conviction? Amen? I'm telling you, we were no longer saying, "Well, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I'm not so bad." I tell you, when the law enters and the offense abounds, it's the offense that nailed him to the cross. Amen? And we realize we're guilty before a holy God. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a generation. It's been going on for a long time. It's preaching a salvation decision. There's a whole lot more than a decision involved. I guarantee you that. Amen? Over there a while ago, I decided what to wear. In case you're not paying attention, it's the same thing but a different one. Say amen. I wore the same thing Sunday night, but they're all different. Amen? Except for the tie and the jacket. Amen? Guarantee you they're all clean. Amen? Somebody said, "Well, why did you mention that?" I believe this with all of my heart. God wants us to know that here in the Word of God, the offense might abound, and when the Holy Spirit of God comes in a man's heart, it comes in a man's life and brings the law. That's why a lot of people want to do away with the law. But the Bible said the law is our schoolmaster. The law is what points us to Christ. Amen. We don't need to do away with the law. As a matter of fact, I read a while back, it's been several years ago, one man said there needs to be more preaching of the law. Amen. In other words, we need to become guilty before God so that we can be forgiven by God. And Paul said, "Your love might abound more and more." You say, "Preacher, why? What would help us?" Because watch what he said. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." How many's glad that's not the end of the verse? "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Amen. I'm glad of that tonight. Sin did abound. But grace was bigger than sin. Amen. Grace forgave me of my sin. And because of that, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. And so when we see that grace did much more abound, that ought to help us to abound in this love more and more. Look at Romans 15 and verse 13. The Bible said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God don't want us just have a little bit. I'm going to tie two things together here in a minute, and I hope it'll bless you like it did me. I'm going to tie the abundant life and the abounding life together. Amen? They go hand in hand. If we're abounding in grace and we're abounding in hope, then praise God, we can have an abundant life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 9, I'm sorry, in verse number 8, the Bible said, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." What about that? God said, if I'm abounding on the inside, we ought to be abounding on the outside. Amen. "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that we may abound to every good work." 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. "And the Lord make you to increase." You know what that word increase means? More and more. You'll get that after a while. Amen. The Bible said, yet more and more. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." A lot. Watch this now. Watch this. "And toward all men." I'm going to make a statement tonight. I'll see if I can get an amen. When we love Him, we love the saints. Don't be talking about loving Him if you don't love the saints. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else. It doesn't stop right there. When you love Him, you love the saints, but you love the sinners. Say amen. The Bible said that this love abounds toward all men. Toward all men. I believe the Bible said, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons." There are people in the world, they need more than anything somebody to love them, somebody to care about them, somebody to have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. Go with me, if you will, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Read a few verses here tonight. I may pick up with this. I'm not even halfway down through here. I may pick up with this next Wednesday. Let me just read it tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Actually, yes, it is 2 Peter. I thought it was 1 Peter, but it's chapter number 1 of 2 Peter. I'm looking at this word abound. We're going to begin reading in verse number 3, and then we're going to come back and look at this a little bit more in detail next Wednesday night, and then go on through here about the rest of this abounding and abundance that God has for us. In chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said, "According as His divine power hath given unto us," somebody tell me the next two words, "all things." So there's no excuse, is there? God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Would you all agree with me there? That's what He said. "Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." When we came to know Christ, we have access to all that we need pertaining unto life and godliness. Now watch. He said, "Wherefore given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." I tell you, the promises of God, I think I heard it talked about in Sunday school a while back. They're so many, they're so real, they're so rich. And God said, "I gave you these promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." How many believes God wants us to partake of the divine nature? How many believes the flesh doesn't want anything to do with it? How many believes the world doesn't want us to have anything to do, and the devil don't want us to have anything to do with it? So we're swimming upstream as God's people. Amen. But if we get a hold of those promises get a hold of us. God said, "I've given you everything." And by the way, I believe He's speaking of this right here. Say amen right there. He said, "I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. I've given it to you right here." Watch this now. He said, besides this, He said, "Preacher, I don't understand what this has to do with Philippians. My thoughts may be hard to follow sometimes, but I'm talking about why that we should abound yet more and more in the love of God." Listen, I've only been around here, I don't know how many months now, a little over a year, maybe 16, 17, I don't know how many months now. I've not counted them. But listen, we should have more love one toward another now than we did when we started. We shouldn't be even and we shouldn't be going backwards. We should be growing, amen, and loving one another more and more. Is that right or is that wrong? I believe that's right. The Bible said here, I'll give you something here. Great and precious promise, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Having, this is already done, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The only way to escape it is through the Word of God. Amen. We're going to saturate our minds with something. We're going to saturate our hearts with something. And God said if we'll saturate them with the precious promises of the Word of God, we can escape the corruption and the pollution that's in this world. One old preacher said it like this. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest. Amen. Some of us in this room can appreciate that because we have things to fly over our head and fly through our head. Say amen. Because of the, my friend, the wickedness that we've sown. Praise God, it don't get to build a nest in there. Amen. Throw a verse of scripture at it. Amen. Jesus did. Watch this now. This is important. And besides this, he said, giving all diligence. I'm not going to take the time to try to explain that, but it's just important, and it's not something that happens by accident. It's something that you and I have to work at. We have to be diligent at it. We have to keep at it. Amen. Watch this now. He said, I want you to be diligent. And he said, I want you to add to your faith. I'm going to make a statement tonight. There's a young convert among us tonight. Maybe more than one, but I know of at least one. Why do a lot of people get saved and that's as far as they go? I'll tell you why. Because they don't add. Well, let me give you something right now. If we're not in the adding business as God's people, guess who's going to be in the subtracting business? Amen? God said, I want you to add to your faith. He said, I want you to be diligent about this. I want you to add to your faith virtue. I want you to add to the virtue knowledge. I want you to add to knowledge temperance or self-control. I want you to add to temperance patience. All right, Brother Houston, I know what you just thought. Amen. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and, what's that next word? Abound. If these things are in you and these things are abounding, then my friend, our love one for another will abound yet more and more and more. How many of y'all remember several years ago, you don't remember this, how many remember playing with building blocks as a kid? How many like to build them up as tall as you could build them? And then what did you do? And if you were still on your way up and your brother or your sister decided it was time for it to come down, there was a little problem, wasn't there? Amen? Several years ago, I actually made a set of blocks. I used to have the Lincoln logs when I was a kid, but I made a set of blocks in the shop for my grandsons, for my two grandsons. And boy, they love to stack them up. And they can get them way up there because they're good-sized blocks. They can get them way up there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When one of them's building them up, you can mark this down. They're brothers. They have the same daddy and mama. Amen? You say, who? Adam and Eve. That's the ones I'm talking about right now. Amen? And that one will get that look in his eye, amen, and building them up, and that other will get that look in his eye. Boy, I can't wait to get over there. And he'll turn his back to get another block, and they all come down, and then there's a problem. Let me say to you tonight, I'm going to close right here. We'll come back next Wednesday night and hook up and go again. Just as sure as you start stacking these building blocks one on top of another in your life, if you think the enemy is going to sit still while we're stacking, he wants to tear you down. He wants to tear me down. He wants to tear kids down. He wants to tear families down. He wants to take our community to hell. And so tonight, God said, I want you to stack. I want you to concentrate on this stack. How many promised me tonight God will help you? You'll go in and concentrate on this stack a little bit. What we ought to do is just get us some blocks and write these things on it. Amen. Add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue a brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness patience. I was mentioning Brother Houston a while ago because he's the one that noticed preacher ain't got all the patience he should have all the time. Say amen. It wasn't him lacking in patience. Amen. His preacher. I wouldn't have said that about him if he was lacking in patience. If I wouldn't say it about him. I might say it to him someday. Amen. But no, that's not the case. Amen. But tonight, let's keep stacking. If you're trying to raise children for the Lord, that's building blocks that are absolutely necessary. Amen. Children don't have to be taught to be mean. We got to teach them to be nice, and we got to teach them to share, and we got to teach them to be considerate one of another. We got to teach them to be patient. Amen. Those are the things that God said would help us, that our love might abound more and more. I hope in our community that the day will come when not we will say it about ourselves, but somebody else would say it about us. That church loves us. That church cares about us. That church loves one another. That church loves the Lord. That's why we love all the rest of the loves. Amen. It's because we love Him.